Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Apologies for our scrambling this morning. We had a guest who fell through at the last minute. We're going to pivot now and talk about our other topic we had planned to discuss today, and that is summer camp. It's summertime. It's coming around the corner, and summer for a lot of people means camp, either at a local YMCA for a day camp or a sleepaway camp with canoeing, archery, and one heck of a lot of group singing. Last year, many summer camps were put on hold before the vaccine and when physical distancing made gathering in groups a risk to campers themselves, their families, and the staff. But the CDC has released new guidelines for this summer. And to talk more about what precautions Illinois camps have planned and how camps might look different during a pandemic, we are joined by a number of guests from camps around Illinois. A few of them, because we are sort of adjusting our show in real time today, some of them will be joining us in a few moments. I believe now we're joined by Colette Marquardt, who is Executive Director of the American Camp Association in Illinois. Colette, thank you for being on with me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So let's talk about how camps and camp organizers are feeling this year compared to where they were last year at this time?
That's a great question. Camps are, and their organizers, the directors, their owners are enthusiastic and excited and optimistic. They have spent the entire last year preparing for this summer, scrutinizing all of the details with the science and how to run camp. And so there's just a lot of excitement to bring campers back to camp and get these programs rolling.
Were there any camps that were able to operate last summer? I'm trying to cast my mind back to what conditions would have been like at this time last year. I think most of us were still staying home, whether people wanted to or not at that point. Restaurants were still closed and that sort of thing. Was there any camp that operated last summer?
Yes. Overnight camps were not permitted to operate last summer as we were trying to figure out what that would look like, but many day camps throughout the state of Illinois did operate. Day camps are a vital part of the child care services throughout the state, and so it was important for especially children of essential workers to have a place to go that was safe, and so many camps did operate.
Yeah, that makes sense. And let me take a moment to invite our listeners to join our conversation, especially if you are a parent, you might have kids headed to camp this summer. Maybe you were a camper yourself in the past. 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. And join our conversation. We're talking with Colette Marquardt, who's Executive Director of the American Camp Association in Illinois. And we are now also joined by Jeff Dobrik, who is the Chief Operating Officer at the Stevens Family YMCA in Champaign, Illinois. Jeff, thanks for being with us and joining a little earlier than we had planned today on the 21st. And Jeff, I'm told we're having some technical problems connecting with Jeff. So, Colette, let me ask you, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control recently came out with guidelines for summer camp, and we can talk about what some of those are. But before we get into that, let's actually take a listen. One of my colleagues at Illinois Public Media, Christine Herman, spoke with an epidemiologist, Becky Smith, from the University of Illinois, about those guidelines. Let's take a listen to some of that conversation.
It's very similar to the CDC's recommendations for schools, that they should maintain 3 feet to 6 feet distancing, depending on what their setup is. They should have good ventilation. They should have mask policies. They should avoid having mask off time, and masks should only be off their 6 feet distance, preferably outdoors. And then testing is definitely beneficial, and that there's a lot of recommendations for testing. They also now recommend that all of the adult staff be vaccinated, fully vaccinated before the camp starts, if at all possible, and that unvaccinated staff should be tested regularly.
And that's for day camps. For sleepaway camps, it's crucial to get people tested before they arrive, the CDC said, in an attempt to block the virus from entering the camp. And now we have one other clip we want to play. Colette, this morning, Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's one of President Biden's top coronavirus advisors, spoke with NBC's Savannah Guthrie on the Today Show, and she asked him about summer camp. Let's listen to a clip from that interview.
Given what research shows about transmission outside, about the low risk of serious illness in children, are these CDC guidelines excessive?
You know, I wouldn't call them excessive, Savannah, but they certainly are conservative. And I think what you're going to start to see is really in real time, continually reevaluating that for its practicality.
So, Colette, can you talk about what you heard there? I mean, what do you think about the guidelines? Too strict? Do you worry about kids being able to adhere to them? Are they practical?
That's a really good question. In Illinois, we have, our Illinois Department of Public Health and the Department of Economic Commerce Opportunity have been providing guidance for us throughout this whole pandemic. And they take what the CDC recommends and then adjust them for the state. So we're actually focused more on the Illinois guidance because it's been interpreted down to, our situation here in Illinois and under Governor Pritzker. We support the public health officials as the experts when it comes to how to protect children. And what we've been doing is working alongside, we've been part of the conversations both nationally and at the state level over the last year. So this is not a surprising set of guidelines, and we've been providing and supporting with resources so that camps can meet them and camps can meet these guidelines.
And you're planning, I think, what we've heard referred to as a Swiss cheese model when it comes to safety. You're recommending that, I should say. Can you talk about what that Swiss cheese model is?
Sure. Yeah, it's looking at it like Swiss cheese, right? There has to be multiple layers of protection and risk mitigation, because like Swiss cheese, no one way is going to help keep the virus out. We have to have multiple layers so that if the virus gets through one layer, it's typically blocked, right? So in Swiss cheese, we have these holes, and some slices have more holes than others. And that's what we have recognized, is that we call them non-pharmaceutical interventions, the NPIs, such as mask wearing, distancing. Our camps in Illinois will be operating in a cohort system, so we won't see giant 200-person gatherings at camp, but the camps are making really creative small group gatherings, utilizing properties in different ways as a way to provide an extra layer. Vaccinations are another layer to that Swiss cheese model. Testing. And when we layer all of those different NPIs together, we know the camp can be done relatively safely with a very low risk of spread, both at camp and then when the children go home or the staff go home at the end of the day at day camp, not spreading into the community.
And we need to take a break in about a minute here, but in terms of vaccinations, you mentioned vaccinations. Most children are still not eligible for the vaccine. I believe anyone 16 and older can get the Pfizer vaccine. That may get extended downward soon, within the next week or two, potentially, depending on what the government says about that data. But briefly, what is the average age of the staff, I guess? Sometimes teenagers can be counselors. Is there any sort of vaccine requirement for them you're considering, or that you've heard of camps considering?
Yeah, the average ages are 18 to 22 for summer camp staff, and some camps have a little bit younger staff, some have older and a mix. Many camps are requiring the vaccination. It differs based on the style of camp, where the camp's located, and the host agency or owner of the camp. But vaccinations have been strongly supported by most camps in Illinois. And they have been working with their local health departments to get their staff vaccinated in time for camp. So as the clip mentioned earlier, fully vaccinated.
Sure. Okay. We're going to continue this conversation. We need to take a break here on the 21st. Listeners, thank you for bearing with us this morning as we had a number of scheduling unanticipated moments thrown our way. More to come in our camp conversation after a short break. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by AARP Illinois, featuring Disrupt Disparities, an initiative working to bring about policy, systemic, and structural changes for older Americans of color. More information on this multi-year project at disruptdisparitiesil.com.
This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking today about summer camps. Many camps were put on hold last summer. Some, as we heard, were operating. That was, of course, before the vaccine and when physical distancing was still the main rule coming out of the government to keep people apart, physically separated, difficult to do at times at camp. But this year, camps are looking at reopening, and we are talking about what precautions Illinois camps have planned and how camp might look different during a pandemic. We've been talking with Colette Marquardt, Executive Director of the American Camp Association in Illinois. And we're also joined now by Dan King, who is the Executive Director of Camp Ondesank. It's known as Camp O. It's located in Ozark, Illinois. Dan, thanks for being with us today on the 21st.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And also with us is Jeff Dobrik, Chief Operating Officer of the Stevens Family YMCA in Champaign, which has a number of day camp options for kids. Jeff, thank you for being here as well.
Yep. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And listeners, we want to know, are you a past camper? Personally, I am a proud attendee of YMCA Camp Pinewood in Michigan. Not even sure that's still around, as well as a few Boy Scout camps I've been to in my life. We want to know, do you have fond memories of camps? If you are a parent, are you considering sending your kids to camp this summer? You can join our conversation. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. So, Dan, you were a camper at Camp O long before you became the director there. Can you talk about what camp meant to you growing up?
Well, it was a place where I felt welcomed and accepted on a level that didn't fully resonate, or I didn't fully understand until I was older. It was, for me, what camp is supposed to be for other children, just a place in which I learned and I grew. And I had a great time while I was at it.
And I'm wondering, I mean, are there any particular camp traditions that, you know, that you think will have to be adjusted that you look back fondly on? I mean, we heard a little in the introduction to this segment, we heard a little of the boom, chicka boom chanting, and there's group singing is a big part of camp. I mean, what are some of the things that, you know, are beloved might have to be set aside for the time being while we're still taking these precautions?
Well, I have an emotional attachment to several things that we have to let go this summer. But I also, we are grateful for the opportunity to operate. So I don't want this to come off as if we are complaining, but
sure,
at any rate, some of those things that are going to be difficult to go without are the big community items. Colette mentioned that, there will not be the mass gatherings that are known at camps, big camps like Camp Ondesank, where we will serve, you know, 350 or more campers at a time in a typical summer, plus a staff of 100 people. So we won't be gathering in our dining hall. All meals will be managed and handled outside in nature. We've been experimenting for the last year. Not so much an experiment. We've been practicing for the last year now, sending meals, delivering meals to the places where the people are. Now, we have not operated summer camp during that time, but we have had some limited camping type services, family camp type events, and that sort of stuff. Another of the things that we will give up on, and it's a daily flag-lowering ceremony. And this may not sound like much, but it's a chance near the end of the day for the community to gather and to have a flag-lowering ceremony similar to what you might see at a Boy Scout camp or perhaps in a military setting. And we won't be doing that sort of thing at camp on this summer.
Smaller groups sounds like the watchword. Jeff, let me ask you about the Stevens Family YMCA. There's a variety of different day camps. Are you thinking about how kids are sort of adjusting, right? A lot of young people are going to be re-entering social spaces, maybe for the first time if they've been learning remotely for more than a year in some cases.
For sure. And that's something that's at the forefront of our mind. I mean, for some of these kids, this may be their first social interaction in 15 months. With other kids. So really what we're trying to focus on is obviously the safety, but also the social and emotional needs of the kids, getting them acclimated to what a camp setting looks like is going to be something that we focus on each day, at the beginning of each camp day, as well as throughout the entire week. So when it comes to like the emotional components, obviously, you know, in a school setting, you're able to kind of handle those. If somebody's getting upset, you can kind of, you know, handle them, but with remote learning, it's completely different. So a lot of the kids that we're anticipating coming in may not be able to regulate emotions when they get upset or even overjoyed. So it's really making sure that we train our staff to take the time to get to work with the kids and come to their level and see what's going on and what's bothering them, so we can do the best we can to make them feel comfortable, that they're welcome, and that they're supported. So again, we don't know what's going on in these kids' lives outside the camp setting. So it's really about building those personal connections, making sure that they feel comfortable, that they're safe, and that we're there to support them as best as we can.
And Colette, maybe you can talk about that. You're, as I said earlier, you're the executive director of the American Camp Association in Illinois. What are you hearing from camp directors about how they, you know, as we just heard from Jeff, what are they thinking about, you know, sort of the mental health aspect of these kids, some of whom are going to be interacting with strangers for the first time? Maybe they've grown more attached to their parents being around them than they have been in a long time. And that, you know, even in normal times, there can be a sort of separation anxiety on both kids and parents when you go to camp.
Sure. Yeah. Camps are definitely ramping up their training around the social and emotional health of our children in the state. And I would also add that camp is a place where the primary goal is the social emotional development of the child. And we use games, we use activities as the tools to help children learn that skill set that's so important. And so camps are well positioned to handle this, to work with it. And they're looking at information that's coming out about youth mental health. They're attending trainings, they're attending webinars, countless of them, to prepare, and will increase that level of training as we continue to get closer. But camps are primarily, this is their focus, which makes it a really special place for kids, speaking to, you know, what Dan had to say about, you know, that feeling of deep connection to camp comes back to our attention to those details.
Absolutely. And Dan, what about you? Are you hearing from parents who are maybe a little more worried than usual about sending the young ones away this summer because of concerns, not just, you know, the normal separation fears, but the, you know, potential virus concerns as well?
You know, we are hearing from parents with concerns. It's interesting, the concerns go from the side of, is it safe, to parents that don't really like the idea of their child being required to wear a mask. They are hopeful that perhaps masking won't be a part of the camp experience. And in the case of, you know, camps in Illinois and Camp Onvesunk, we will be masking. And so what we're finding is that I think that a lot of the families that are comfortable with this as being a part of the next step of, you know, as we recover from the virus as a society, that camp is on the list of things that they feel comfortable with. I don't think that we are hearing from the families that are, you know, that are still, for whatever reasons, you know, very, very careful to the point of not going out or not, you know, being out in public, that sort of thing. Those folks aren't shopping for camps right now. But having said that, those folks, you know, their reasons for that, their take on all of this, I respect it. We just, again, as I said before, we're grateful for the opportunity to operate, and we know that we can create and add to essentially the culture of compliance that already exists in our operation. And as I speak with camp directors from throughout the state, that's the approach that they have as well. That culture of compliance has worked in a school setting by and large. We know it's not perfect, but we also know that the emotional health of children is important, and many families are just ready for it.
Sure. Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st. We're talking about summer camp, what camps are doing to get ready to try and reopen this summer during the pandemic. Still, what we hope is entering a tail phase of the pandemic. There are new guidelines out from the Centers for Disease Control. We heard this morning that those might be revised further. We're speaking with Dan King, Executive Director of Camp Ondesank in Ozark, Illinois. Colette Marquardt, who's the Executive Director of the American Camp Association in Illinois. And Jeff Dobrik, COO of the Stevens Family YMCA in Champaign. 800-222-9455 is our number if you want to join our conversation. 800-222-9455. Jeff, let me ask you, parents, how do parents weigh the risks of, you know, the pandemic versus the risks of social isolation for their children? What are you hearing from people about that?
Yeah, and it's definitely something that we've heard and think about. Obviously, the safety and well-being of their child is their number one priority. And so under our care, we want to make sure that they realize that. A lot of the things, you know, that kind of Colette talked about is, you know, smaller groups, something that we're stressing to make sure that parents, you know, we're not replicating a giant size camp setting. It's going to be smaller groups. We offer kind of a variety of different camps and different settings and rooms within our facility, but also outside. So it's really about making sure that we comfort them, we listen, we let them know that the procedures that we have in place to try to keep everybody safe, and again, assure them that, again, their safety and well-being for their child is important, but also the interactions that they have with the kids, what they're learning, what they're able to take away is just as important too. So, you know, there's definitely risk involved, and hopefully, you know, we have a clear plan and objectives as to, you know, steps that we'll follow to keep everybody safe. And in doing so, it'll feel as close to camp normal as possible.
And Colette, I wonder if you have a message to parents as well on that question of anxiety. Maybe, as we heard Dan mention, some parents are reticent because they don't want their kid to have a sort of half camp experience that has masking and doesn't have the group activities that they might remember from their own childhoods. What is your message to parents this year?
I'd say I have two messages. The first is to remember the kids are inherently resilient, and that oftentimes it's the adults in the lives that help foster that resiliency or can sometimes hinder it. And that's something that we really focus on in camp. And the children adapt when they're supported by the adults, and camps are prepared to help the children be resilient through this process. And then the other message would be to talk to your camps and ask the hard questions. If you have a concern, bring it up to the camp director. They should be able to talk with you to respond. If you feel that maybe that camp isn't responding in the way you want, reach out. There will be other camps. There are over 500 camps in the state of Illinois, both day and overnight camps. There are many options, and not every camp is for every child or family, but there is a camp for every child or family in the state. So you just got to find the one that you feel matches what your needs are for your child.
Jeff, I know from past conversations on the show that a lot of YMCAs were some of the places that remained open, at least for sort of essential worker childcare during the early phases of the pandemic. I don't know, but I presume that's true for your YMCA. But I'm bringing this up because we know that communities of color were disproportionately affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. And we've seen in some places that Black families in particular have been more reticent about sending their kids back to in-person schools over safety concerns. I wonder if you're doing any sort of special outreach to those families in your branch of the YMCA. And, you know, as you attempt to build an inclusive summer camp opportunity this summer?
Yeah, and you're right. We were one of a number of Ys in the state that offered emergency child care, from March to the summertime. And, that's definitely something that we thought about a lot for this year. Actually, we're in the process of rolling out a program. We call it Y on the Fly. It's actually a program that's across the country in different areas, but we're going to be one of the first ones in our area introducing it, in which we're going to take the Y out to the community. So especially to those that are underserved, those that are disproportionate, that don't have access to getting to the Y, whether financial, transportation, whatever it may be, language, that can be a barrier. And we're actually getting staff. We've got a mobile van and unit, and we're going to take it to four communities in our area and offer kind of like a mini camp setting. It won't be all day, but it'll be for a couple hours each day. It's completely free for the kids. So this is all funded by, support of our members and donors and community partners, in which they'll have, and it takes place outside, so, as safe as possible, physical activity, literacy, so focusing on that educational component that they may have missed with remote learning, nutrition. We've partnered with our local school district to provide meals and snacks, healthy meals and snacks for the kids, as well as other community groups that are focusing on STEM activities or gardening and just a variety of different things. So again, it's not all day, but at least provides some sort of child care and kind of camp experience a couple days a week. And our hope is to, with this program, grow it even further in the future so we can get to more different communities. But yeah, we definitely see that, not everybody has the access to get to our Y. So what can we do to bring the Y to them? And that's what our Y on the Fly program is all about.
All right. Sounds great. And that is, I'm afraid, all the time we have for our conversation today. Jeff Dobrik is with the Stevens Family YMCA in Champaign. We also have been talking with Dan King, director of Camp Ondesank in Ozark, Illinois, and Colette Markhart, director of the American Camp Association in Illinois. Thank you all so much for being here today on the 21st. Stay with us. More to come after a short break.
Support for the 21st comes from Christie Clinic. Christie Clinic, providing health care to the community for more than 90 years. Local procedures, providers, specialties, and choice. Christie Clinic is focused on caring for the community.